Okay, so I mean the thing we're doing in about moteach. The Gemara says that by moteach, if you pull the thread to tighten the stitches, right? So according to Rashi, that's considered tofer. That's like sewing, right? Because it doesn't matter whether you actually do the particular mechanism of sewing or you just cause the threads to the two pieces to tighten. Either one is sewing, right? But according to the Rambam said no, that not that way. But the Rambam said the reason why pulling the thread is considered sewing, right, is why? Because it's one part of the malacha, right? It's the haschal of the malacha. So according to the Rambam, if you do one component of the malacha, you're chayv for the full malacha, right? So you see in this week's parsha, exact same thing. Any takers? Any takers? It's in a Rashi. I will just leave it with that, and you know, see if you can find it somewhere. It's in Rashi in Vayikra. It is in let's see, Chamishi.
Oh, I knew that.
You knew that?
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead.
No.
Just kidding. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Right. It's in Chamishi. Okay. So in Chamishi, right? It says like this. It says, "Daber Aban Israel." It's Vayikra Dalet Beis. Okay. "Daber Aban Israel Leimor Nefesh Kisechata Bishkaga Mikometz V'Hashem." Right. A person that that sins and does b'shogeg any of the you know, averas, it says asher lo se asena, which a person should not do, va'asa me'achas mehena, and does one of these. Okay, so Rashi says, what does it mean me'achas mehena? It's a strange lashon, right? So Rashi says me'achas, from one. What does it mean from one? Rashi says mimiktas achas mehen, from part of one of them. Okay, kagon hakosev b'shavas shem meshimon. Person intends to write Shimon, right? But he didn't write Shimon, he wrote shame. So really the person shouldn't be chayav, because if I intend to do one malacha and instead I do something else, I'm not chayav, right? I didn't do what I intended to do. Now if I intend to write Shimon and I didn't write Shimon, I just wrote shame, so really I shouldn't be chayav. I
still wrote two letters,
but I didn't intend to. Right? I intended to write Shimon. Now I wrote something else. Now it's true, it's the first two letters of Shimon, but if you're going to get me for Shimon, I didn't finish Shimon. Right? And if you're going to get me for shame, I didn't intend to write shame. Okay? So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, where is that Rashi? Mimiktas achas mehen kagon hakosev b'shabbos shem mishimon nach meinachar. Right? So what does he say? So you wrote part of the thing. Okay? So therefore, if you intend to write Shimon and you wrote shame, right? So what are you chayv for? Are you chayv for writing shame or are you chayv for writing Shimon? So the halacha is you're chayv for writing Shimon. That's what Rashi is saying. That if you do part of the malacha, you're chayv for the whole malacha. Okay, so it's the same thing as the Rambam.
What's that going on? What did
Rashi say? Me'achas me'ayin. Right. Because you can't, and as Rashi's saying, you can't be mechayev the guy for writing shame, because he didn't intend to write that. He wanted to write the full name Shimon, and then he stopped. So whatever happened, he didn't do what he intended. Right? So really the guy should be potter. Rashi says no. Right? If you started the malacha, you're chayev for the whole malacha. Even if you didn't finish it.
Could you say that they had a full intention, but he just stopped short because let's say something was happening?
That's right. He intended to do the malacha. And he started the malacha. Alright? So that's what Rashi is saying. If you start the malacha, you're chayv. Okay? It's the same concept as the Rambam. Right? If you pull the thread, even though you didn't complete the action, but you did a component, you're chayv for the whole thing. Alright? Right?
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing. Because you read it, you figure, okay, yeah, he's fine because It's true, he didn't write Shimon, but he wrote Shem. I mean, that's also a name. Yeah, so then what do you need Mimiktos? No. So it's not that he did part of the Malacha. You say he wrote Shem, he wrote that name. No. Right? Okay.
You know, it's interesting though that the examples are specifically things that are words that are that when he stopped. Meaning he didn't say like, I don't know, what are two letters that's not a word?
Well,
I think that's a question that comes up.
Yeah.
Like halachayin, like that's not a word,
right.
You know?
Right.
I don't know a word that starts with that, but it's not, whatever.
Right, like you let's say you have a name, well, let's say, pick a name where the first two letters is not a word, like,
Chumash.
What?
Chumash.
Chumash, so Chu. Let's say the guy wrote Chu.
Right.
According to this, he wouldn't be Chayav. Right? Why does, in other words, if, so.
Right, shouldn't he be Chayav, like we were saying?
Shouldn't he be Chayav?
Yeah.
So why does Rashi pick? Each case Rashi picks is where the thing is a name on its own. Why didn't he just say, what do you have to give me an example? Just give me any word. And I write the first two letters, I should be chayav. Why does Rashi say... It's a good question. Let's open somebody to ask. Right? Rashi says...
Shem
is Shimon, Nach me Nachor, Dan me Daniel. Each one on its own...
Is a word.
Why do you need that? If you tell me it's miktsas because I did part of the whole, so why does the name itself have to be anything?
Right.
So what do you say?
And if you lechachila wrote two letters that did form a word,
right.
You'd also be chayav for the same.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean any two letters, right?
If I write tes vav, you'd be chayav for that. If I intend to write tes vav.
Right. Right, that's right.
That's your example?
Yeah.
Right.
You're saying it's question argument. Yeah. You could say you only chayav for a word, but it's not true.
Right.
That's
right. And if you say it has to be a word, but you're not chayav for that word, you're chayav because you wrote part of the whole.
Right, Shimon, chayav Shimon.
That's right.
Maybe it still goes along well with what we're saying. Maybe you can answer it like this. Maybe you can say that. You're specifically only chayav for that. Maybe you're chayav for that kind of word because if it's not a word that you wrote, then
you see the question? You got the question?
Say it.
What's that?
Say it.
You know, the question is like this.
I'm going to try saying it.
Go ahead. You say it. Good.
Are we asking? Why is it like? What does Rashi mean? Like, does he mean that if it only has a word already in it, like contained within a bigger word,
right.
That you're chayav, or is he saying just if you started any word, you're chayav?
Right.
Okay.
So is it because it's a word in a word?
Yeah.
Right. Or is it any word? Right? So it seems from the Rashi, the only examples he gave were where it's a word in a word. Right? So therefore it would seem that's the only case where you're chayav, right? But we're asking, why should that be? In other words, if you're telling me the reason why I'm chayav is because I wrote part of a word, then why does it have to be a word within a word?
Yeah.
Why can't it be any part of a word? Good.
What do you mean by a word within a word?
In other words, Shimon, right?
Yeah.
So Shimon contains another word inside of it. Shame. Because the first two letters alone would be a word. Let's say, for instance, the word David. So Dalet Vav, I don't think it's a word. It's not a word, right? Du is not a word, as far as I know, right? So that would not be a case of a word in a word. It's just, until you finish the word, you have nothing, right? Whereas with Shimon, if I stop short and I just wrote Shin Mem, I have a word, shame.
So
our question is, Rashi says that's apparently the only time you're chayav, when the first two letters make a word, right? But what if the first two letters don't make a word? Shouldn't that also be considered starting the word? I started the word? Right, and we're saying you're chayav for starting the word.
Maybe you could say, like, when you're doing when you have a word that when you say two letters it doesn't make a word, you're starting something, but it's not a word. So if it's not considered something that's productive in your use or productive in any general way, then you should be chayav for it.
Okay.
Because it has no use. You have no use for it. So you're just writing two letters. They don't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything to you. Where on the other hand, shame actually has a certain meaning beside. Like, Shimon is a name, but also the word shame has a meaning behind it.
Okay, good.
But doesn't that run into math problem? Because Matt was saying the regular malacha of ksiva, mm-hmm. you could just write any two random letters and you'd be chai for it. Meaning, if I intended to write Dalet Vav, right. I'm chai for that. But if I intended to write David and I just wrote Dalet Vav, I'm not chai.
Right.
So you'd run into that problem, though.
Right.
Okay, but let's just follow his approach. I mean, is there any... Could we go anywhere with what he's saying? In other words, let's see if we can develop it a little more. I think you're on the right track. In other words, when I say you have to start a malacha, that if you do part of a malacha, it's equal to doing the whole malacha, right? I might maintain that it's only considered a part if the thing could stand on its own.
Right.
But if the thing is really a fragment, that's not a part. In other words, let's take the case of sewing. The Rambam says if you pull the thread, right, and you're chayiv for the whole malacha, right? So pulling the thread is not the complete malacha, but pulling the thread is a complete step, right? In other words, if a malacha has two steps, I could do part of the malacha, but I have to do a complete step. Right? So if I do a complete step, there the Rambam says it's as if you finished the malacha. But you have to do a complete step. Like, let's say, for instance, I started to pull it, but I really didn't pull it. So there you might say you didn't even do the step. Right? So maybe the same thing over here. In other words, if the first two letters by themselves make a name, so then you could look at that as a unit. In other words, Shimon, you could say, is made up of Shin Mem is a component, right? Let's say I just wrote Shin. Let's say there was no halacha that you have to write two letters. Let's say I just wrote Shin. So you'd say you didn't even make a component, okay? So maybe that's what Rashi means. If the Shin Mem on its own makes up a word, then I could say it's a component. It's a component of Shimon. But if I don't even have a component, you can't even say I started Shimon.
Yeah, but
okay.
Don't we see that let's say Dalet Vav is a component just by the fact that you'd be chayav on your own for writing it?
Okay, so now you'll tell me if that's the case, we see that you're chayav even if I write two letters, that it's not a complete entity, right? It's just two random letters. Now I say over there, if you write two letters, you're chayav because that's what you intended to do. Do you know what I mean? That's a malacha because that was your objective. So you rendered that into a malacha.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? But inherently, let's say I didn't intend to write Dalet Vav. Right? Then you say, well, what did you do? You didn't intend it, and it's nothing on its own. Inherently, it's nothing. Do you know what I mean? So therefore, if I intend to write Dalet Vav, I'll say there it's a malacha because that's what I want, subjectively. That's what I want, those two letters. Why I want it? None of your business. Right? Inherently, it might not be a word. But I want those two letters. If those two letters I want, then I'll say that's a malacha. Okay? But let's say I'm writing Shimon, and I don't want just Shin and Mem. I want the whole word. But whatever, I started writing and something interrupted me. I didn't get what I wanted. Right? Oh, so then I would say you're not doing a malacha. Unless you tell me that the Shin Mem inherently is an entity, so then you could say, I started Shimon, because what did I end up with? I ended up with an entity. It's not the full entity, but it is on its own an entity. Right? Isn't that, that was along the lines of what you were saying? That Shin Mem is something of value, so I can construe that as a component. Right? But if on its own it's nothing, so I can't call that a component, unless that's exactly what I meant to write, Oh, then I could say I'm chayv because that's what I intended. Okay? You see it? Okay. All right, so very good. So that's a good good example of our good application of our studies. Okay?
You did a sugya within a sugya.
What's that?
You did a sugya within a
sugya.
That was
one. That's right. There you go.
Oh! That's
funny. Okay? That's good. That's a good one. Alrighty. Okay, so what's next?
What's next?
That's all I have prepared, I mean. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so let's see. What did we leave off with last time? Let's see. We have 1/4 of the attendance last time, right? You were here last time. Okay, so let me just briefly review so that we could just give the final thing. Okay? If I could be brief, or maybe we should... Let me just think about this for a second. How we should handle this. What's that?
Brief, long...
Brevity is a virtue, right?
Is it?
Depends. If you have some, if it's boring, brevity is a big virtue. If it's interesting... let me just think for 1 second. Okay, well... I don't know. Let's maybe start something new, okay? Because I think that what happens is if I go, I think the thing that the completion of the topic that we were doing is like maybe a 5-minute thing, and the topic would probably take longer to go through, and it's just okay. But maybe whatever. Let's go a little further, okay? So, were you guys here for the thing of for the Korea? Mm-hmm. You were here for Korea?
I was here for Korea.
Oh, well, but not. We went ahead. If a guy rips his clothing for anger.
Oh, I didn't do that.
Okay.
I don't remember.
That.
Right. Okay.
I think I was there.
You were there for anger, the ripping for anger.
Wasn't I here for every other one?
The question was like, how could he be high for like ripping if he was
ripping for anger? Right.
Maybe I wasn't there. No, I don't think.
Okay. So maybe it's a sure thing. In other words, the question was: let's say a guy rips his clothes for anger, right? So the Gemara said that he will be chayiv because there's a benefit to him, right? And as every malacha that you do has to produce a positive benefit, you have to want the result. Okay, so even though the tearing might be destructive to your clothing, right? But there is a tremendous benefit to the person because he's in a state of anger, and now when he rips, he feels great. He removes his anger. He's venting his anger. That, the Gemara says, is considered a tikkun.
That's crazy.
Right? Because the Gemara has 2 cases, right? 1 case was if I do kriya for avelus. If I'm an avil and I have to do kriya, so there the mitzvah, there the Gemara says that that's considered tikkun. That's productive. Why? Because it's a mitzvah. So you accomplished a kiyum ha-mitzvah, that's a malacha, because you did something beneficial. Okay? But let's say a person rips out of anger, right? So there's no mitzvah. Okay, so what's he accomplishing beneficial? So the Gemara says, no, he accomplishes something very beneficial. He is venting his anger, and now he feels great. Okay? So the Gemara says, but 1 second. There's a problem. Why? Because don't we say that if a person if a person vents his anger, does something in anger, he's considered an ovdei avodah zarah? Right? It's a chait. Because if a person gets angry and acts out of anger, that means it's like a denial of reality. Like he's saying, I can't take this, smashes things. That a person's not allowed to do. Right? But he has to be makabel things calmly. This is reality. There's no anger is not going to help anything. And therefore, you're not allowed to vent your anger. So the Gemara says, can't be a teacher. Okay? So the Gemara works out a different case where he's ripping his clothes not because he's angry, but to discipline his kids, that they should quiet down. So he's not really angry. He is just... Now they're quiet, they have respect. So that's a taken, because now he's getting his family in order. And that's a taken. Okay? Of course, he's teaching them to be angry, but, you know, look, we can't, right? But that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that would be a taken. Okay? But really, for a person to carry out his anger, that's a harm. He's what he called, what did the Gemara say? That he is his Yetzer Hara. He's giving in to the Yetzer Hara. That's a harmful thing. Okay? So we wanted to say, well, what's the Havamina Maskana? Because originally the Gemara seems very satisfied that that would be a tikkun if he carries out his anger. He feels great, and that's a tikkun. Emotionally, it's a very big tikkun. Helps him. Okay? But then the Gemara says, no, that's destructive to him. It's very harmful, and therefore it's kilkel. Okay? So we wanted to know, what was the Havamina and the Maskana? Why did the Gemara first think that it's a benefit, and then the Gemara decided, no, it's a Avodah Zarah, it's the worst evil? So what do you say?
We answered this last one.
Yeah, we did. But I just
remember it.
Okay.
Oh.
So this is good. I could just, in other words, next week I can just start again, and if you guys will just forget everything I said,
this
will be very
great.
Easy for me.
I remember it, most of it.
Yes, exactly.
I was just trying to remember it.
Just kidding.
It was good.
So I had a hard time remembering myself, believe me. Right?
Oh.
So what do you say? What do you say?
Comes out, is it a
tikkun
or not?
Well, it's tikkun. Yeah, first the Gemara thought it's a tikkun, then the Gemara says, no, it's a kilkel, mm-hmm. You're destroying yourself. So, Gil, you got the question?
Yeah.
So, what do you say? I'm picking on you to this.
No, that's great. I love it.
Why would you say it's a... In what framework would you say it's a tikkun? In what framework would you say it's a kilkel?
It has to do with...
At first, the Gemara was looking at... And a tikkun as also including just psychologically. The guy is just, he feels better now. He got his anger out. He feels better. And that's it. Now he's psychologically calm.
Right.
He's calm now. So that, it helped his psyche. It's better.
Right.
He's calm. Psychically, or whatever it is. So,
right, psychologically. Right.
Right. So that's one way of looking at tikkun. And then the... Maybe the Maskana saying that no, that's not really considered a tikkun, because I guess to just his psychology on its own is not good. You have to look at the full effect of what this thing is doing.
Okay.
Meaning, if you're going to look at him as a person, if this is affecting him as a person. It's destroying. It's not good.
Right.
You're not supposed to vent your anger like this. It's actually destructive towards him. So if you're going to look at him, what effect it's having in him, you can't just isolate the psyche and say, oh, that's a tikkun. You look at him as a person. It's not helping.
Okay, good. Okay? Right? You see? Now, as a first of all, I thought, as long as there is a tikkun, that's it. Okay, look, it might do other things. It may have harmful, bad effects. But in one respect, it's a tikkun. So in that respect, it's good. Right? But then the Gemara said, no, one second. You can't split a person up. In other words, a person is one unified being. And the question is it good for him or bad for him? That's it. You can't say there's a tikkun and there's a kilkel. It's one thing. Now, in that person, so far as that person is concerned, ultimately, is this a benefit or a harm? It's a harm. Okay? Because even though right now the guy feels better, but now his Yetzer Hara is increased, and next time it's going to be worse for him. Okay? So the Gemara says, that is really a kilkel. Okay? And that's it. And the Gemara says, that's it. Goodbye. Okay? Nothing more to talk about. Okay? But there's one small problem. If you take a look at the Rambam, and the Gemara says, yeah, so you have two types of tikkun. One tikkun is if I do a mitzvah, if I do kriya for a mitzvah, right, like I'm on an avil, that's a tikkun, right? Or if I do kriya to discipline my kids, and I'm very calm, but I'm just pretending, that's also a tikkun, because I'm improving the family. Okay? One problem. If you take a look at the Rambam, he is a very unusual thing. Okay, and you could take a look if you want to take a look at the Rambam. We got two more Rambams right over there.
What's all? Where is
okay,
it?
Okay, where is it? Good question.
Yeah,
what's that?
I
just got a Rambam app on my phone.
Oh, you do? Wow. That's pretty good. Very good. Shabbos.
By the way, on my way, as
it's called the Jewish books, Rambam.
Okay, good. Very good.
Oh, yeah, but it's
slow. Okay, so it's Rome. Perek Yud. Okay. Halacha Yud.
In Shabbos?
In Shabbos, yeah. If you want to take a look, there's a Rambam right there.
Perek Yud, Halacha Yud.
Perek Yud, Halacha Yud.
Hakoria Kedei Litfor?
Yes. Okay. So the Rambam says Hakoria Kedei Litfor. Okay, so that we know. Fine. But then he says like this, Aval ha-korea la-hafsida. If a person rips for destruction, to destroy his whatever he's ripping, potter, say potter, mipnei shehu mekalko, because that's destructive, it's not beneficial. Okay? But the Ram says like this, ha-korea b'chamaso, let's say a person...
Which parak?
It's parak yud halacha yud. Okay? Ram says, a korea b'chamaso, let's say a person rips in anger, o al mace, or for a mace, shehu chayiv likra'olav. Okay, a karov, one of the Zion krovim died, so he must do kriya. Okay, so if he does it for that reason also, he's chayiv. Why? Ram says, mipnei shemiyas shev es daita. Because he's calming himself down, and he's removing his yetzer, right? He's calming down his instincts. Vahoil v'chamaso shocheves b'davar zeh, since his anger is satisfied with this action, harihu k'masakin v'chayev. That's considered masakin. That's a benefit, and he's chayev. So, I mean, it's very nice of the Rambam, but it goes directly against the Gemara, because the Gemara says that if a person rips out of anger, he's an Oved Avodah Zarah, and that's kilkel. He's destroying himself.
What do you mean he's an Oved Avodah Zarah?
If a person rips, carries out his anger, gets angry, and vents his anger, so the Gemara holds, that's a chait. Why? Because a person's supposed to accept reality and work with things, not blow up and act like a maniac. You know what I mean? If a person does that, then what he's saying is, I can't accept reality. Right. Now that goes against the whole Torah. So the Gemara considers that like an Oved Avodah Zarah. So actually there are two problems here in the Rambam. If you look closely, there's a second problem. Tell me if you could find the second problem in the Rambam.
Lefsida is... What is Lefsida?
What's that?
Lefsida.
Lefsida means to destroy.
So he's saying to destroy, I thought, was because of Mekalkel.
If you destroy, that's Makalka, right? So that, because there's no benefit.
Right.
So that's good. That's the same thing as the Gemara, because you need a benefit to be chayiv, right? But the Rambam says, if I do it out of anger, that is beneficial. Right. And therefore I'm chayiv. That's against the Gemara.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's problem number one, but there's a second problem here.
He's saying it's a metakin.
He says it's a metakin, right. It's metakin. But it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be masakin.
It should not be masakin. Exactly. What's the second problem?
He groups mace with the chamaso, and he says it's just to be miyashiv das. Didn't say it was because of a mitzvah.
That's right, exactly. Because the Gemara says if it's a mace that I'm chayiv to rip, or that's a tikkun because it's a mitzvah. The Rambam doesn't say because of mitzvah. Rambam says the same reason. Because when I rip for a mace, I feel better. So again, psychological. But nothing to do with mitzvah, and nothing to do with the yetzirah, with the person's neshama, just purely psychological. Yeah.
So are you saying that kriya itself has to be in mind that you're actually doing mitzvah and not just ripping because of what happened? Because sometimes when you just rip it, you're not ripping, like when the mace happens.
That's right.
You're ripping the shirt, but like, the question could be, is that, are you doing it because of the intention of the mitzvah, or are you doing it because people are saying to rip your shirt when someone passes away?
And it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Right, that's what the Rambam's saying. The Rambam's saying that the benefit is the fact that you feel better. But the fact that you are Yotzei the mitzvah is meaningless. That's not the tikkun. Now, why does the Rambam exclude the benefit of mitzvah and the benefit of mitzvah, and why does he throw that away and he sticks with the psychological benefit? Why does he do that?
It's hard because this is like straight against the Gemara.
It's against the Gemara. But I would say at this point, let's forget about. Let's say he could work out the Gemara. Let's forget about the fact that he's going against the Gemara, and let's try to understand why the Rambam prefers to interpret the benefit psychologically rather than the way the Gemara does. Mitzvah, he doesn't consider that a benefit, and he doesn't consider the harm of the philosophic harm. The fact that I'm going to be an Oved Avodah Zarah, he doesn't care about that, and he doesn't care about mitzvah and Aveira, he doesn't care about. The only thing he cares about when it comes to Kriya is, does it make you feel good?
Mm-hmm.
Why does he go on that track?
Well, why does the Rambam do that?
Yeah, why does the Rambam disregard whether it's a mitzvah or whether it's an Aveira? And he just focuses on one thing. Do you feel better when you do it? Then it's a benefit. If you don't feel better, it's a harm.
Maybe because he's not thinking of it as a benefit. You know, he's just ripping his shirt. He's not thinking of it as a benefit or of anything.
Who, the guy doing the
rip? Yeah.
Right, okay.
He's not thinking of it like that. Because in the moment he's caught in what happened. He's not thinking about, oh, should I do a mitzvah? Oh, is it going to, you know, is it going to make me feel better? He's just doing it.
He's just doing it, right?
Yeah, he's not thinking. He's so caught up in the moment that you could say that he's like really caught up in what just happened to him that he can rip his shirt.
Right now,
because that could be a tendency when people get angry or sad or whatever, they do things that normally that they don't do.
Okay.
So maybe you could say that, and maybe that's why he doesn't hold it as a disregard it as a mitzvah or a benefit, because people do things and when they're not thinking right, they do things that they don't normally do.
Okay. Okay.
By the mace, isn't he doing it because it's a mitzvah? How does it make him feel better? But he has to do this right now.
What do you say? The guy, you're right, the guy does kriya, it may make him feel better, but he's aware that he's chayav to do it. He knows that's what he has to do.
He's not just doing things.
But when does he do it?
Right,
like right after, or he does it like with, let's say, with people or sitting down?
He doesn't want to find out.
I don't think he goes, oh, someone died, like someone in the family guy, someone in my family just died, I'm going to rip my shirt down. I don't think he's doing that.
Of course.
I think he's going to be upset about what happened, and then
they
could possibly be, I don't think he's just going to be like, oh, I'm going to get upset afterwards, but like first I'm going to rip my shirt. I don't know if people do that.
I think he would be upset. My point is that he's upset, and ripping his shirt does make him feel better, but he's, like Rabbi Marcus is saying, he's aware that this is a mitzvah and he has to do it because it's a mitzvah. Might make him feel better. Might make him feel better to do a lot of things.
Right. But that's what we're saying. Right. That's the only thing.
But he's still doing it and being aware that it's a mitzvah. It's not just randomly doing it. Right.
Right.
Does that make sense?
He's doing it for the mitzvah. Right. He's doing it. He may make him feel better, but he knows he has to do it and he knows it's a mitzvah.
So why is the Rambam disregarded as a mitzvah?
Because of Korea or because of, it's Tikkun?
Say that again?
Is that because of Korea or because of like Tikkun?
It's chai for, well, Korea is only, you're only chai for Korea if it's a tikkun. Right.
Oh, because of Malacha in general?
If it's Makaka, you're Pater.
In general?
Yeah.
Oh.
Any Malacha, if it's pure Kilkul, Pater.
Like unselling Amanas, it's for?
That's right.
Right.
Amanas, it's for? That's right. Or if a guy erases, it's Amanas Lichta.
Oh, right.
Has to be positive. Right?
But the Rambam's saying is that he's doing it to suppress his anger. He's doing it because of the Shemiyashi as Daito and Vianuach Yitzro. He's not saying anything about the fact that it's an obligation for the mitzvah.
That's right. Why doesn't he? Why wouldn't... If I asked you, is Kriya... If I do Kriya for a mitzvah, is that a good thing? Is that a benefit? The fact that I'm Yotzei Mitzvah? What would you say? You say, yeah? Yeah, that's a good thing to do. Or would you say, no, well, we don't really care about the mitzvah, but do you get your anger out? Oh, then it's a good thing. No, a guy would say, well, forget about your anger. I mean, the main thing is, he did a mitzvah. That's the real benefit to man. Right?
It's puzzling.
So why does Rome disregard that benefit?
What does he mean by saying ukimitake?
Kimisake.
What does he mean by saying that?
Where did he say that?
At the end. Saying, Shochavet b'davar zeh, harei hu, kimitake nuchayev.
That's a good question. He says it's like misake. Why does he need to say, harei hu misake?
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good question. That's a good question.
But as another question, what does he mean by masaking in this case, though?
You feel better.
So he's saying you feel better.
You feel better.
So apparently he holds it is psychological.
That's right.
Completely.
Completely psychological.
And not mitzvah-oriented.
Not mitzvah-oriented. Mitzvah is zero. It means nothing. It's worthless.
Right. So...
Right?
Right.
So why would he say that?
Have a possibility?
Yeah.
Just thinking that when you say what's philosophically good for a person,
yeah,
that's nice, and it's definitely, things are generally philosophically good for people.
Right.
But in terms of let's say I say davening is philosophically, it's good for you, right? It perfects a person, but we don't mean that every single time I do it, it's actually doing something for me. We mean it's a philosophically good endeavor. It's a perfecting action. Doesn't mean that if I daven now, I perfect it. Okay. So in terms of the effect it has as a good, it's not really extant. And so too with the Avera. Might be that since I ripped my shirt this one time, it's generally, it's a bad derech of going, but it might not have affected me this time. It might be I already had that tendency, and I'm just expressing it. It might not be that it's actually doing anything to me. It might not be having an effect on me right now. Could be, but there's no extant effect. But with the psychological, when I ripped my shirt, there's an effect of Yishev Adas. There's a real effect here. So maybe the Rambam is saying that there's a measurable tikkun over here, and halacha is only going to recognize the tikkun that you can measure, you can see, as opposed to the philosophical, which is an ideal. It's derech. You can't really measure where it's happening or when it's happening. But
okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, what do you guys say? Do you like that? What do you say, Gil?
About
his thing. Do you,
you're saying that it wasn't something because you should
adopt.
Repeat
it?
You
can say it again.
So I was saying that the reason why the Rambam, maybe the reason why the Rambam is disregarding the fact that ripping your shirt when someone died is a mitzvah, or ripping your shirt when you're angry is an aveira, why is he disregarding that and saying whether or not you're chayav or pater? And you're just saying, look, you have Yishev Adas, so of course you're chayav.
You're gaining.
You're gaining, right. So I'm saying that the Rambam is holding that the psychological Yishev Adas is a real measurable gain. I am now calmer. I can tell a person, look, there's an effect here. There's an effect here that benefited me. I am calm right now. But if you tell me, oh, is this philosophically good for you?
Like a mitzvah.
I'm sure it is. Right, exactly. I'm sure like the mitzvah is good for me in general, but there's no effect I can see. There's no measurable tikkun that I can see right now that happened to me. As opposed to Yishev Adas, that's something that I can measure. Say, I have it, it's done, I am calm now. This is an effect that I can see now.
I guess I hear that. The only thing that I would add is that if the guy is clearly, is he ripping his shirt, the guy that's like ripping it out of a veil, it's not the anger guy, is he ripping his shirt to do that mitzvah? Because like, I don't think he's doing anything for a positive reason, you know, for a reason to gain something. Like, if he was concerned with the mitzvah, like, wouldn't we say, like, why wouldn't he just not do it?
Well,
like, he's not, you know, like,
Let's say he is. Let's say he's doing it for the mitzvah. Then,
despite the fact that it's Bava Vera, like,
oh, it's on Shabbos, man.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Oh yeah, forgetting that. Yeah.
You're forgetting about that because that right. The Gemara says that even though he made an Avera, even though he had his Avera, it's still considered a mitzvah. So. Okay. Separate issue. We don't have to worry about why we don't. It's a good question. Mitzvah Bava Vera. It's a very good question. Which should be considered Mitzvah Bava Vera. But somehow the Gemara doesn't seem concerned with that.
Okay.
So you're saying, so what? So if...
No, I mean, he... Then in that case, no, I thought like, oh, if it's Bava Vera, then it's...
Wouldn't be a mitzvah.
Clearly this guy doesn't care about anything.
Like, oh, I
clearly
see.
He doesn't... Clearly it's not for any positive
I see what you're saying. Right. That's a good point. But we have to ignore that point for a moment and treat it as if, because the Gemara says it's a mitzvah, so we have to treat it as if. Right, so now you're okay with what he's saying. Okay, Matt, what do you say? You like his approach?
I think Sam's saying good.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you say, Matt?
I'm not sure. Okay.
We need a consensus. We can't move on.
Are you saying that in the Yeshiva Das there's something else going on? Like,
I'm just saying that the Yeshiva Das is something that you can... It's an effect that you can see. It's an effect that is extant. It's apparent.
So what about the mitzvah?
As opposed to a mitzvah where the effect is supposed to be the perfection. It's supposed to be good for you because it's a mitzvah. It's a perfection.
Right.
But that's not something that you can see. It's not something extant. It's not something measurable. So I'm saying halacha is not going to recognize that. Yeah, I'm sure it happens. Did it happen this time? I don't know. Maybe if I do a lot of... Let's say I do a daven a lot of times. Then it'll perfect me.
Okay.
Did this one time... I don't know which one affected me. You know, only Hashem knows, maybe.
But the Yeshiva Das, does that have an effect on you?
Exactly. That's my point. The Yeshiva Das is a measurable, apparent effect. That halacha is going to recognize as a tikkun.
But not as a mitzvah?
But the mitzvah won't recognize as a tikkun, because it's a philosophical perfection. It's not an apparent effect like Yeshiva Das. Right.
Oh, so it's in the effect of the action.
Right. Is this benefit apparent or is it not apparent? Which one's halacha going to look at as a benefit, as a tikkun?
So you're saying within that moment he does it, he's not doing it for, like, some sort of perfection.
Even if he is. Let's say I'm doing it because it's a mitzvah. So now two benefits are going to happen. One is that philosophically I'm involved in a mitzvah. That's
right.
Good. But two is that I'm actually benefiting from this psychologically. I'm calm right now.
Right.
Right? But... I think the Rambam is saying that the mitzvah is true, it might be good to be involved in that, but it's not a benefit that's apparent.
That's like, for the mitzvah. That's not, it's not perfected, perfection, like for the mitzvah.
Right, no, I think what you're saying is good. In other words, what he's saying is, I had a good term, but I forgot. But basically, right, what you're saying is malacha exists in the realm of the practical. There has to be a practical benefit, right? Mitzvah and philosophic is not a practical issue. Mitzvah is a conceptual. That's the word I'm looking for. You know, a word you never hear around here. Conceptual, right? In other words, right? If I say that my soul is being destroyed by anger, or that I accomplished a mitzvah, that's a conceptual benefit. That's not a practical benefit, right? That's a benefit because I say, oh, a mitzvah, that's a conceptual thing. I got a mitzvah, right? There's nothing practical, nothing tangible. But malacha, the benefits of malacha and the realm of malacha is the practical. A guy's sewing. You're going to say, well, conceptually, what do you mean? Did you sew the garment or not? It's a practical thing you're trying to accomplish in malacha. So all of the benefits of the malacha have to be expressed in the practical world. If you're going to tell me there's a benefit of malacha in the conceptual world, very nice, but that's not malacha. Right? Malacha is creative activity. It means creative practically, physically, tangibly, not conceptually. Right? So therefore the Rambam holds that yeah, it may be destroying your soul, but that's still considered in the realm of malacha, it's a practical benefit, because now the guy's calm and he can and now he can function. Right? So it's not good for him overall. He's better that be able to subdue his anger and be able to undo his anger and not carry it out. Okay, fine, but practically it's a good thing. Right?
He gained from the behavior.
Yes, in this world, he gained. Right, now he can calm himself down and get back to what he was doing.
But conceptually, not like.
But conceptually, it's not a gain because what's his essence? His essence is the soul, and his Yetzer Hara is now gaining an upper hand on him.
So you say the realm of holds, it's all practical.
It's all practical. That's right. It's all in the realm of the practical. Okay? So that's why the Magen Mishnah says, how did the Rambam learn that Gemara? The Rambam learned the Gemara was a separate thing. In other words, the Gemara said that if he rips for anger, that's a benefit. Then the Gemara said, oh, one second, how can you rip for anger? That's an Aveira. It's a separate point. The Gemara is saying that you're right, it would be a Malacha, but now, one second, is a person allowed to do this? Not allowed to do that. So the Gemara is just bringing up a separate point. According to the Rambam, not undoing. They're not asking a kasha. Okay, I mean, we didn't. You know, if you see the, you look at the Gemara inside, you'll see. But that's basically the difference. The Rambam holds every malacha has to be a benefit in the practical, tangible world.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the conceptual world, that's not. It's not concrete. That's not malacha. Malacha doesn't deal with non-concrete things. All right, that was good shot. Good shot. Very good.
What would be an example of a conceptual thing?
Conceptual, I say, I rip and now I have a mitzvah.
Huh.
Can you see the mitzvah? I mean, is it...
He sees that there is no mitzvah here.
Yeah.
That's what? Why.
You would have a mitzvah, but that would not be malacha. Then you can't consider that malacha. If I accomplish the mitzvah, that's something in the intellectual, but... You know what I mean?
So you're saying when a mitzvah interacts with conflicts with the malacha, you would say that it's more of a practical thing and never as a...
That's right. You have to look. If the malacha makes you feel better and it gives you a practical benefit, then it's a malacha. But let's say, for instance, a person would do kriya. And let's say it was a mitzvah to do kriya, but it doesn't help him at all. It doesn't make him feel better. Nothing. He's not sad. Then according to the Rambam, in that kind of situation, that wouldn't be malacha.
That'd be a mitzvah.
It wouldn't be malacha. I mean, you're doing a mitzvah, fine, but it's not. You're not over an isur of shamus. You'd be pontiff.
So you're saying when his emotions, when he's sad and doing a mitzvah, it's more just of a practical thing.
That's right. It's a practical thing. Now he gets rid of his sadness.
I see.
Both are happening, though.
Both
yeah,
are
that's
happening.
That's the only thing.
Simultaneously.
Yes.
Allah
only recognizes. Yes. Right, what we could see. Could we see that he feels better? Yes. Okay, so that's good. Could we see he did a mitzvah? Yeah, we can't see that.
This is the case of like destroying a bodhisattva.
Okay, like, good.
You know what I mean? Coming after me, you know?
That's good.
Mitzvah, but like you don't feel any
right.
better. You know?
That's a good example. Let's say a guy would destroy a bodhisattva, that's right. Mm-hmm. So according to the other Rishonim, they would say that's malacha.
Right.
It's taken. According to the Rambam, that's not a taken. Well, what's taken? Did a mitzvah.
But when you're destroying a bodhisattva, aren't you doing it because you feel like you're doing a greater good? Sort of? In a way,
yeah.
like you feel great about it because you think you're what you're doing is good. So isn't that a feeling?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, if you'd have a guy on a high level that he's really so upset that there's Vodazara and to destroy makes him feel great, then you'd be right.
Or just like, you just like, hey, I just shouldn't be here. Or
but if a guy's just doing it because it's a mitzvah to do it, but he doesn't personally feel sad. Right.
Okay.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
That's right. Or if the guy was breaking the Avodah Zarah when he was angry anyways and he just wanted to destroy something, then yes, that would be he'd make him feel better. But if he's just doing it because he has to do it, according to the Rambam, that would not be malacha.
Right.
That would be the difference. That's right.
So it's depending on how he does it.
How he does it. That's right. What the context is. Okay. All right, so I'm happy we I guess somehow, you know, you when you think about the point originally, like you think, oh, this is very short. But then when you get into it, it's not so short.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like details and intricacies they don't really think about that, but they come out once you gotta remember that.
It was good.
Okay. Oh, let's see.
Stop this one?